I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Fasten your seatbelts. Barbara McGuigan is in the house on EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. We're talking the life issues as we do every single Tuesday. If you'd like to talk to Barbara, the number's 1-800-585-9396. That's toll-free anywhere in North America. 1-800-585-9396. I want a phone call from Walla Walla, Washington. That's where I want a phone call from today. I'm calling you out, Walla Walla. 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. That's 1-205-271-2985, and I want a call from Dublin, Ireland on that line today, because the Irish are the final bastion of respect for life from a legislative standpoint left in the world, and they are teetering on the edge as we speak, as referendums set for later this year and early next year. The government would like to change those things in Ireland, but some good folks, we've got some good folks in town here in Alabama that are representing life and the gospel in general that hopefully will play a large role in making sure that that does not happen. You can also send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Barbara. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, the lovely and talented Rich Jesse, producing the program again today, as Elena Rodriguez has got some television duties this week. Your call screener is Mr. Michael McCall, and Jeff Burson is back to his old tricks, taking care of all of our social media endeavors. Your host, as she is every single Tuesday, the blonde bomber of the pro-life movement, Barbara McGuigan. Barbara, how are you?
I'm good, Jack. I'm very good. How about you?
You know what? I am fantastic. Thank you.
Wonderful.
It's been raining for 2 days, but other than that, it's all good. And, of course, it's you know, 145% humidity in the air, which is
yes.
You know, when my son decides to drop his phone into a toilet. So trying to get that thing dried out is a little difficult when your whole state is underwater.
Will it work again?
We'll see.
My daughter
did the exact same thing with what is essentially the exact same phone, and we were able to resurrect it. So,
wow.
Pray for my son Rob and his phone. That's where
okay.
I'm going today.
Will do.
It's already he's had to, because he really needs his phone for his job, so he's already had to go out and buy a temporary phone for $50 to get to bridge the gap between hopefully getting this one fixed. And so he's already learned a little bit of a lesson. So
modern day problems.
It is. We've got an email here, Barbara, and it's from Connie, and she says, I need your help. I've had several people say they are afraid that if we make abortion illegal, then we'll go back to having women die in back alley abortions. What's the best answer for these folks?
Okay. There is a big concern for more than a few people who really want to be pro-life, Jack, but fear that women will die in so-called back alley abortion. So let me just explain where this came from. I spoke at many HLI conferences with this particular man, Dr. Bernard Nathanson. He is the man who ran the largest abortion clinic in the Western world in New York City.
Human Life International.
Yeah, these were Human Life International conferences, that's right. And he and his cohorts aborted over 78,000 unborn children during the months. I want to say 17 months, but it could be wrong. But it was just a matter of months that he ran this abortion mill. He is the man who wrote a book called The Hand of God. where he painfully told the story of how cold and callous he was to abort his own baby when his girlfriend conceived his child. He's the brilliant doctor who spent years and years after his conversion to the pro-life movement trying to speak the truth about what abortion is and does, giving his testimony. And, you know, not only what abortion does to the aborted woman, but to the entire culture. And this was what he wrote about in his first book, Aborting America, which you can still get. The man who was raised an atheist and converted to Catholicism when he was so impacted by the pro-life movement and the spirit-filled people who devote their lives to ending this most horrific slaughter, people of all faiths, including the many holy pro-life priests who finally sealed the deal and were present when one priest, you don't need the whole bunch of them, but when one priest poured the life-giving, death-dealing waters of baptism over the good doctor's head and made him a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic man, forever grateful to our three-person God for his mighty mercy, showing that even a murderer has dignity in the eyes of God. Those are the words of J.P., St. John Paul II. So this doctor was also one of the founders of the first pro-death organizations in America called NARAL. That's what it was called, N-A-R-A-L, the National Abortion Rights Action League. And this man said in Father John Powell's book, The Abortion Holocaust, which is how I got started in the pro-life movement after reading this powerful book, this priest, Father John Powell, told how the founders of NARAL, whose goal was to legalize abortion in America, widely exaggerated and lied through their teeth, knowing full well they had absolutely no way of proving their claim that thousands of women died at the hands of back alley abortionists because abortion was illegal. And the media at this time, and as they still do today, believe this lie as if it were gospel. You know what? I'm always amazed at the lifespan of a convenient lie. It seems to go on forever. Some researchers at the time were perfectly aware that the vast majority of abortions were committed by licensed doctors who were simply breaking the law. Now, even the Guttmacher Institute, the research arm of Planned Parenthood, released statistics in 1986 that revealed in the 15 years prior to the legalization of abortion, the average number of women dying from illegal abortion in the entire United States was 136 per year and dropping. Now, I mean, for even one woman to die from abortion is a tragedy. And by the way, they still do die. But because of a biased pro-abortion media, we won't hear of these deaths until pro-lifers like Operation Rescue and Anne and Philip McElhinney expose the horrors of abortion, the doctors that are maiming or killing women and never reporting the deaths. So there is a way to protect women against abortion without butchering millions of innocent, defenseless children. Now, Mark Crutcher, he's out of Texas, great pro-lifer, said, "The first thing to keep in mind is that pro-lifers don't do abortions. If abortion is outlawed today and illegal abortionists started springing up next week, every one of them would be someone who is pro-choice. In fact, every woman who was ever killed or maimed during an abortion, whether legal or illegal, was killed or maimed by someone who was pro-choice. In other words, when the abortion lobby says, if abortion is made illegal, women will die, what they're actually saying is, if you stop us from killing babies, we're going to start killing women. So what is the solution to the Gosnells or the Tillers in the abortion business, who incidentally were maiming and killing women, not in back alleys, but in Gosnell's case, right on the corner of a prominent street in Philly? That's a fact. And Tiller wasn't hiding in an alley either. So what is the solution? The pro-choice bunch must agree to stop committing abortions, period. They could help us pass laws requiring that people who commit illegal abortions will be prosecuted under the same homicide statutes that apply to any other hired killer. And anyone who coerces a woman to have an illegal abortion or helps to arrange an illegal abortion is to be charged as an accessory to homicide. Here's the thing we all know. These people will never agree to this because any thinking person knows that they simply never cared about this from the get-go. This whole back alley coat hanger abortion idea, and incidentally, coat hangers, that whole idea went out with high button shoes. This whole scheme was to make the pro-life people responsible for the pregnant woman they are threatening to kill. The blood is on their pro-choice hands. Pro-lifers don't kill babies for money. Now, Mark Crutcher has one more good analogy I'll give you, and I'll wrap this up. If the motive to keep abortion legal is to save the lives of mothers, why don't we legalize rape? It's not uncommon for rapists to kill his victim to keep her from identifying him. If rape were legal, rapists couldn't kill their victims, or they wouldn't. We could set up rape clinics where they could take their victims for treatment from doctors on staff. Rapists would be licensed to undergo routine testing for AIDS and other STDs. Remember, the pro-choice argument is that women are going to have abortions regardless of what the law says, and that keeping abortion legal will make sure they occur in a clean and safe environment. Those dynamics apply to rape. Keeping rape illegal has not prevented women from being raped. So why not at least try to prevent back alley rapes? As ridiculous as this suggestion is, if the goal is saving women's lives, it makes as much sense as legalized abortion. It is nothing but a protected and serious abomination unto the Lord and giver of life. And abortion must end now. As revolting as all this is, we have to talk about it openly, even at the cost of ridicule. And trust me, you will be. If not, the devil gets away with murder if we don't show up for the debate. Thanks for your email.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. 1-800-585-9396. Elena Rodriguez can read my mind, Rich. Open Line Tuesday with our very own pro-life warrior, Barbara McGuigan, in the house. Stay tuned.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The superintendent of Saline Area Schools in Michigan had enough sense to first ask the community what it thought before implementing a Planned Parenthood sex ed program. Planned Parenthood wanted to send in trained teens to teach part of the sex education curriculum. The superintendent was mighty glad he asked local residents first. His public statement on the matter was telling. It is very apparent that moving forward with any Planned Parenthood curriculum would be too divisive. Several residents said Planned Parenthood promoted promiscuity and abortion. It has been a failure in schools and isn't about health, it's a social movement. They're right on all counts, and area kids will benefit from their parents and other concerned citizens protecting them from its social agenda.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
How about this? Apple TV allows you to instantly stream EWTN to your TV. Get EWTN today. It's easy. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Apple TV player.
Father Larry Richards.
God doesn't need you to sit there and protect him. If you receive communion unworthily, it says you could be sick or die. But we don't have to protect Almighty God. So God can protect himself. So he knows that man's heart. And if he's not in a state of grace, that communion can become the bread of death to him. You don't need to do that. God can take care of himself.
Open Line with Father Larry Richards. Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Jeanette DeMello, host of Register Radio.
This is Doug Keck, EW10 President and Chief Operating Officer. Thanks for listening to the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Wake up, everybody. Grab one of these open phone lines. Walla Walla, Washington, Dublin, Ireland. I'm calling you out. 1-800-585-9396. If you're on the Emerald Isle, 1-205-271-2985. To the phones we go. Tony's in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Radio there in Omaha. Tony, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Tony.
Hi there, Barbara. How are you?
I'm fine.
I have to ask you a question that has just concerned me. Now, sure. I am not in favor. I know your question today about the back alley abortions. I'm not in favor of those. I think the key is to remember there is a God and there is dignity to a child, and we keep educating.
Amen.
But my concern, I'm about a month ago, you told about the woman, Romaldi or whatever her name was, that was,
yes,
in Africa,
Romaldi,
that was so severely disabled. I just could not stop praying for this woman and her child, and I missed a couple of shows, and I just wanted to ask you, did she get help?
Okay, you know, I'm glad you called in about this, Tony. I had about maybe five or six people who wanted to do whatever needed to be done, as I do as well. Here's the deal right now. I've been going back and forth a few times with the dear soul who made me aware of this lady.
Okay.
And she said that her father has to sign certain forms or something,
okay,
that she could be released. And
okay,
while they don't have anything to do with each other, the lady is trying to make calls to see if she can facilitate this. But so far, I'm waiting to hear from her again, because I told her that on my end, I did everything that I could, but I can't get the father to sign the form, right? So, and then she also,
okay,
let me know there was a closer place than what I was suggesting, where the missionaries of charity are as well.
Mm-hmm.
So going in the other direction. So we're,
okay,
still working on it. So keep,
okay,
praying, because prayer, of course, is the most important thing.
I absolutely will. I will. It just, the Lord just put it on my heart. And I did. I just went into this spiritual battle praying for this woman. I just,
oh,
was just, Lord, I said, I cannot imagine. And I said, she's got to be moved. But I,
yes,
I know that there's a purpose there. I will pray for the Father to sign so that she can leave.
That's what we're waiting for, Tony. And thank you for being,
okay,
such a wonderful prayer warrior, because, boy, do we need him.
And I'm praying about this, this abortion issue and conversions and everything. It's just part of my rosary and other,
great,
prayers.
Mine,
okay,
too. Praise God.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony, for calling, dear heart.
God bless you, Tony. We appreciate the phone call, and that's Romaji, for those of you who may want to pray for her by name.
Yeah.
Her name is Romaji, and she, what country is she in Africa again?
Oh, my goodness.
Me putting you on the spot for a change.
You are. I can't remember, but it's in Africa,
yeah,
and it's sub-Sahara, so I know. I just can't remember the name of the place.
Keep,
but anyway.
Keep Romaji in your prayers.
Keep Romaji in your prayers. I don't know that people remember the story, but maybe we should give them a little recap. This poor gal is in her teens, late teens, and she is severely disabled, and she walks around with her child. Her first child died, but she lives in the streets, and it's very sad. And the villagers seem to think that they will have good luck if they abuse this woman, and so they do that. And we need to remove her from that area. But you can't just, I guess for some reason, her father's permission has to be granted. So that's what we're waiting for.
Next stop for us, the great state of Ohio. Julie is in Ohio listening to The Rock in Cleveland. Julie, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. Yes, hi.
How can I help?
Oh, I was calling because I don't really know the church's, well, I know the church's position, but my daughter's 16.
Mm-hmm.
She recently told me that she was gay, which, first of all, I don't really believe. I think she's confused. However,
I think she's indoctrinated.
Yes. So, but it's a battle for sure.
Yes,
but
it is.
She's currently scheduled to go to summer camp at our Catholic youth summer camp that she's gone to every year. It's through the diocese, and I don't know what to do as a mother.
Well, why would you be nervous about the Catholic summer camp? Why would that be fear for you?
Well, I don't know if she would be allowed to share a cabin with other girls.
Okay. Do you know who heads this?
I know, this is what she's told me, and if this is true, then it's the only information I have to go on. And I don't want to have other parents upset with me, or should there be any trouble?
Do you think that your daughter would be a threat to the other girls?
No, I don't. But I don't want to place her in a situation where
does she want to go?
Yes, of course.
Same-sex attraction is not a sin. Keep that in mind.
Right.
It's.
I just feel guilty as a mother placing her in a situation where other parents and children would not be comfortable.
It's beautiful you have that concern. It's beautiful you have the concern. What I would do is go to the person, two people. First of all, the pastor in your parish. Does she go to Mass with you?
Yes.
If she's going to go to a Catholic retreat, has she given up the sacraments?
No.
Okay.
I mean, she comes to Mass with us.
That's good. I wouldn't make too much of this because these kids today are conditioned to all of these different gender identities. It's very confusing. It's very disturbing. It is not from God. And so I think that what you should do is go to the pastor, explain the situation, and let him possibly talk to your daughter with you and your husband and see what he says about this. Because I don't think she would be a threat to the girls. But then again, if you've got daughters that haven't been conditioned, right? It might make them feel very uncomfortable. And so, and you wouldn't want your daughter to be isolated in any way. She's trying to work through this, no doubt. She's only 16 years old. So, then who heads up the camp? Is it a youth minister or someone from your parish?
It's through the whole diocese. The whole region.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it might help her if they have good speakers and they can kind of teach them, about this whole gender identity. It's really sad what is going on with these poor kids because they become confused. And someone might just look at them because they have certain attributes and say, I'm sure you're gay, And so they plant seeds that really aren't true. So,
Julie, I think Barbara's onto something there, too. If you were to discreetly contact the director of the facility, I can promise you this is not the first time he was going to receive this phone call.
Amen. Yeah, that's true, Jack.
Right. And I don't believe it. I just think it's where she is right now.
Yeah.
And another thing, this is a great opportunity also, I think, to take those non-threatening moments and opportunities when they present themselves to reinforce to her the notion that everybody has a call on their life from God, and everyone is called to a vocation, and that the important thing is not that she picked one particular vocation or another, but that she picked the right one and the one that, that God has intended for her. And, you know, plant that seed in her mind and let her think about that a little bit.
Yeah, she needs to be formed in the truth about all of these things, because, you know, it's her life may be very difficult, you know, because she has been conditioned like this. And how about her dad? Is he involved in this in her life?
Oh, yeah, he's involved in her life.
Very involved in her life. Okay. Possibly he should sit down with her as well and just tell her how much he loves her and whatever he can do to help her out. I'm sure as a mom you've probably said this before, but sometimes when the dad, I think all the time, if the dad can become involved, that's a very good thing. Would he do such a thing, you think?
Yeah, he could. It would be hard. It would be ugly. It would be painful.
Well, there's also courage. There's also courage.
There is. We'll talk more about this in just a minute. Open Line Tuesday with Barbara McGuigan.
When you deal with God, get out of the way.
The incomparable Mother Angelica. She broke the mold of Catholic teaching with her one-of-a-kind perspective. From her spunky spiritual growth talks to her eye-opening scripture study, a nun like none other.
I intend to scare the hell out of you.
She was the one, the only, the non-forgettable Mother Angelica. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I Can't Get No Satisfaction is a popular song, but it could be a summary of our life on earth. In the book of Genesis, we hear that we're made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we can know the truth and we can choose to do good to others. We can love. It comes to fulfillment in the Sermon on the Mount, where we hear these Beatitudes. It's the standard of the Christian life. Jesus tells us that if we hear what he says and do what he tells us to do, we will be like wise people who build our house on solid rock. But we make progress towards happiness and blessedness by our actions, and it starts with our interior disposition, what we want to choose. Do you and I hunger and thirst for those things that will lead us to happiness and to God? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Listeners to Catholic Radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic Radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic Radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Couple of open lines for you at 1-800-585-9396, toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. We're talking to Julie in the great state of Ohio. And
yes.
Barbara, you were mentioning Courage.
Yes, Courage is a wonderful group, and it is for it helps young men and women, or older men and women, who have an inclination towards homosexuality, active homosexuality, helps them to be pure in mind, heart, and body. It kind of explains everything and supports them in a pure life. And they have a group for family members. It's called Encourage. If I can remember correctly, Courage and then Encourage is for family members to help moms and dads understand how to react, how to respond to their children who come home from school one day and you know, they hear what your daughter told you. So I would contact them as well. If you just put in Courage, the Courage organization or something like that.
If you go to CourageRC.org.
There you go.
CourageRC.org. And actually, if you just scroll down that homepage, at the bottom there are four boxes that basically ask you exactly who you are. There's a box if you're a person suffering from same-sex attraction or if you're a family member of such a person. And you just click on those boxes, and it'll bring up all sorts of resources for you. And in addition, we had a caller, Mark Julie, who called in, and he was unable to hold, but he said that his daughter went through the same thing and that he had a talk with her. He said it was just a phase, but he said that loving her all the way through was really the key so that, you know, she knew that he cared about her when she came out on the other side.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Julie. I mean, it's very confusing for them and sad because of the climate in which they live. And so often, you know, the fact that they're pushing all this onto the kids has a lot to do with lust, with the sin of lust, you know. And this is what the culture that we live in that honors sin. So, you know, and all the consequences from the sin of lust, not in your daughter, I'm not accusing your daughter of anything, but this is why the culture pushes this whole thing. This is what is behind it. So thank you, Julie, and I hope we helped. Let us know how it went, okay?
Thank you.
All righty.
God
Bye-bye.
Bless you, and all of our listeners will keep you in their prayers as well. That opens up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. That's 1-205-271-2985. You can send us an email, openline@EWTN.com, or you can text your question to Barbara. Send us a text. Just text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. I've got another email, Barbara, from Nick. And
okay.
He says, Barbara, you mentioned a quote your mother was fond of on an Open Line program back in July of last year. The quote was, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." I noticed an interesting paradox. The reason that hand has stopped rocking the cradle is to go rule the world. In other words, women have been told for too long that their most important role is away from the home, not in it.
Yep. Oh, boy. That is so, so true. And, yes, that was my mom's little plaque that she had, a little pewter plate that had that saying on it, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And my question was, what happens when the hand purposefully refuses to rock the cradle? This is when your whole culture is going to be affected. When women don't understand that they have been endowed by God. That's where the word endowed came from. The wonderful group of women out there now, as members of the endowed group, in the great act of procreation. And when you think about it, the woman actively gives herself and lets herself be fertilized. She's given a microscopic seed, and she gives back what a human being made in the image and likeness of God. Now, if you don't understand this fact, because this fact alone should open our eyes to the greatness of receptivity we receive and to the female vocation, for it's in the mother's womb, that this new little creation, this newly conceived life, receives its soul. And when you stop and think about it, that little soul will live forever. And this is precisely why Pope St. John Paul II said precisely because of her motherhood, woman possesses, in his words, a certain precedence over man. All of these liberal ladies out there, these progressives, that children are last on their list. Marriage is last on their list. They don't understand this. These dear souls have never been taught how they have been endowed. And this is why we need to speak it. It's pure and simple why we need to speak it.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. Still plenty of time for your phone calls. 1-800-585-9396. 9396. Mary's next up. She's in the great state of Louisiana listening to EWTN Radio on Catholic Community Radio. Mary, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I was out in the public and I started talking to a boy that was checking me out in a store and we had an hour conversation. He was about 20 years old. On fire for Jesus. And, you know, it's just a beautiful person trying to get the message out about love. And I thought, well, he'd be a good boy to come and just talk to our youth group at our church. So he was Catholic, and I asked him if he would. And then I said, but I have to know, where do you stand on homosexuality? Oh, I want to get married, so on and so forth, but I have friends that are homosexuals. And he said, I just kind of let them. I love them, but I let them, I leave them alone. You know, that's, you know, someone, you know, basically their walk. And I said, well, you can't leave them there. And I said, that's going to leave them in a psychologically wounded state, and they won't be made whole and healthy. And I said, it's just a false, it's like a false mercy. And that's what I feel like the church, I mean, you know, I know the church has a lot of good things going on, but I just hear a lot of false mercy that we're not allowed to step on people's toes and tell them, you know, this is not what Christ wants for you and for your life. And so then I suggested that he read Peace of Soul by Fulton Sheen, and anybody that is struggling with their sexuality or addictions or anything, that is the best book ever to explain why you can't be left in sin and think you're going to be whole.
Well, so, and you're right. You're absolutely right. I think kind of what he meant is possibly what Pope Francis was talking about some months ago about accompanying someone. You know, rather than, well, we don't point our finger at anyone. I mean, we are all sinners, every last one of us. And we have to keep that in mind. But I think what most people don't understand, Mary, and maybe you'll agree with me, is God's grace truly sufficient or is it not? Because so many people think that to live a holy moral life, to have a moral code about yourself, they think that they can't do it. That it's too hard. St. John Paul, in Love and Responsibility, one of his books that became part of Theology of the Body, said, you know, that there's an actual resentment to virtue, especially to purity, because people think it's just too difficult, but they don't understand that God's grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very sad because, God, Christ doesn't lie. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Okay, so it is a cross. It is a cross. I mean, just for example, it would be a cross for a married man who likes to, you know, be with other women. Hey, that's not permissible. God's grace is sufficient to keep you a chaste husband, right?
Right.
So, I mean, there are other ways to look at this. But see, he was a young man, right? He was a young man. And so many of our young people today have not had the benefit of the noble art of being formed in the faith. So they understand why something is wrong.
Right.
I interviewed Cardinal Arinze a while ago, a few years back, for an EWTN series I was doing. And he gave a commencement address. And I just came upon this. He said, what does it profit us if a student is an intellectual giant but a moral baby?
Mm-hmm.
If he or she can shoot out mathematical or historical facts like a computer but is unfortunately a problem for the parents, corrosive acid among companions in the college, a drug addict or sexual pervert, a disgrace to the school, a waste pipe in the place of work in case number 23 for the criminal police. It is clear that intellectual development is not enough. But that's what a lot of these kids, that's all they have.
Right, right. Well, would you not agree that it just doesn't seem like there's not enough preaching on suffering being
sure.
a beautiful thing?
Sure.
Yeah, on the pulpit, you know? Yeah, there isn't.
Of course, no, there's not enough. But see, they're afraid. I don't know that I'd even call it false mercy. They're just afraid to bring it up. They're afraid to bring it up, that they're going to hurt someone, offend someone. And I would imagine that if the person does go to confession, if all of us go to confession, the priest will handle these sorts of things with us. That's why it's important that you get a priest that is in complete adherence to the magisterium of the church. What is it good is it going to do you if you're sharp as a tack, but you've not had any moral formation? You don't know the whys, why the church teaches what is wrong. You know, as St. Augustine said, to avoid evil because it's evil is good. But to avoid evil because you understand why it is evil is better, because then you're taking on the mind and heart of God, right? In its reasonableness and rationality, you're reasoning this. Well, many of them haven't had that opportunity.
Praise God. My son, who is 20 years old, just went to Theology of the Body, retreat.
Great. And I bet he was blessed beyond, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. He was. He came home definitely with a deepening of his faith. And, I know it's the beginning, because I was asking him, Pope John Paul, to pray for him. It's his confirmation saint. So,
yes. We'll see, these kids are being so indoctrinated in the school system, in the, by Hollywood, by the movies, by the music. They are being indoctrinated when they need to be formed. They need formation, not indoctrination. And I'll tell you, go ahead.
Well, I homeschool, and in my 15-year-old, I was going to do Baltimore Catechism, and I knew that I could do what would reach him, and that was Seton's program. It was to do the Baltimore Catechism, ninth grade. And I said, oh, no, the Holy Spirit feels like, I felt like he was telling me to do Pop-Cat, because I used Pop-Cat,
Yes, Greg. Greg Pop-Cat,
And so I did Broken God, Seven Steps to Healing the Human Heart, I think it was. And you talk about reach him, because that totally made sense. The world, the vices, what you're really longing for, as you know, and then the virtue that would get you there. And so, that's what I felt like he needed, was just an understanding of why. Why would I be attracted to this? What's going to be wrong with doing what the world? Can you understand what I'm saying?
So yes, absolutely. But see, they're tossing it out as a question, like, are you homosexual? You might be. Or you might be any number of 68 gender identities. See what I mean? This is demonic.
It is.
This is definitely not from God. We know that. And then they want to be married as well, on both sides, men and women. And, it isn't that the church won't allow homosexual couples to be married. It's impossible for two people of the same sex to be married. And this is the church, the church's stand is this way.
Right.
So, and that's the problem. Sure.
As far as the statistics, as far as how many homosexuals have been physically abused or had some kind of problem with their parents. I mean, just from my knowledge, so I know that how much of it is just trendy, that people are just doing it because it's the thing to do, or there's been deep woundedness that has to be addressed.
You have to look at each individual life. If they've been exposed to abuse, sexual abuse, there's so many things. If for the young men, they didn't have a father in the home, there are many, many things. That's why the church says we cannot discriminate against them. Discrimination in their regard, because we don't know what has caused them to think this way, to have this inclination. We don't know what it is. And this is why we do have to be compassionate and merciful, but then again, never act like we are permitting, like we think the sin is perfectly wonderful. Just for an adulterer, right? You say, he really just fell in love with someone else. Hey, you're a child of God, and we respect you and love you, and we will not discriminate against you or judge you, but what you're doing is a mortal sin. It is a severe offense against God and your marriage. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you accompany someone, but you don't love the sin. You hate the sin, and you love the sinner, basic line, right? So that's what it is. But as far as the homosexual couples go, by definition, marriage is a joining of two into one flesh, one body. A male can't receive the fertility of another man. nor can a woman receive the fertility of another woman. See, only a man can receive the total gift of a woman, and only a woman can receive the total bodily gift of a man. And so this is all relies on reason. This is the natural law. This is the way God made us. But everyone's trying to say, oh, that's nothing. Who cares about all those things? Who cares about the natural law? And they so want to be ratified. People that are in all of these other types of unions, they want to be ratified. They want us not only to support them, but they want us to celebrate what they're doing. We can't.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. Mm-hmm. So I praise God that you have really done a good job, it sounds like, with your kids. And have to give it to them. Well, you know, I mean, we do the best we can. Sometimes they have their own free will. So sometimes they surprise you.
They have to own their faith. That's right. Well, thank you for getting the word out. And, I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling, Mary. God bless you.
Right when we're finished here, boy. English teachers around the nation are covering their ears right now and reaching for cotton as I continue to make a mockery of the language. But 4 o'clock Eastern time, Al Cresta takes to the airwaves. Today he's got Eric Metaxas, who will talk about his new book, If You Can Keep It, The Forgotten Promise of American Liberty. That's 4 Eastern on many of these EWTN-affiliated radio stations. And a special programming note, Friday, the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network will carry the Holy Mass and Diaconate ordination of our very own Brother Matthew Mary, here of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. He'll be ordained to the transitional diaconate, and God willing, he will be ordained this time next year to the Holy Priesthood. And it's such a blessing to, so it's almost like we get to walk the walk. I look at the priests of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word and how many of them I feel like I shared in their journey just by watching the diaconate year, especially that they experienced just by watching the Mass on EWTN television. So be sure to check that out Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern time on EWTN radio and television. Back to the phones we go. Kazik is in North Dakota listening to EWTN on Real Presence Radio. Kazik, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Kazik.
Kazik.
Okay, Kazik.
After Saint Casimir.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway, I was sharing this as he's calling Kazik, but it's in Polish way is longer Kazimierz.
Kazimierz, huh? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Hey,
good name.
I know you from EWTN for I'd be saying I don't know 10 years maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that's probably shorter words is for me is hard to talk, but.
No worries. You're doing a good job.
You my hero. You know, I suffering Barb so much. You know, Screener was asking me, but I was saying I'd be saying compliment, but that is more than compliment, whatever. But anyway, So is I suffering terribly. So injustice, since 2000. And even 10 years before separation or divorce, wife was divorced. So I am terrible injustice, experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
anyway, I have seven children, and she divorced
Praise
me
God.
In 2000, whatever. But I've no exchange, nothing for this suffering because I came through this suffering, come so close to church, to God.
There you
go. So anyway, but with this, we're talking about this. You few times I was here so much, and the day I was here, and I was so blessed because I was no wait long for calling. I was called once, and I was get response. So it looked like it was not so busy telephone today as usual.
Yes.
So anyway, about sex, about all this doctrination and what is going on. But imagine, Bart, in this, I know it's hard to believe. But you see, he was expressing words like, it's sufficient. I be saying, probably because I be messed up with. God was blessed me with sexuality. I am 60 years old, but separation was, I was waiting for wife second by second for 17 years. Now she remarried, but it's nothing changed because what God was putting in me, and then it's going on, because, you know, I guess we not know. The day she is together, and tomorrow she, you know, something different. Mm-hmm. I could be together with her. Anyway.
Yes. So what you're saying, though, is that you got through all of the suffering because God's grace is sufficient, yes?
Yes, yes. And imagine, and through this, so, you know, when I listen, or some people will be even Catholic, will be say, well, if they be let Catholics marry, then there will be no scandal what we have this in 2001 or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
And you see, but God, imagine, God was blessing me with, I was mentioning a little bit age, but blessing me with I am no suffering about sexuality. I am free. And imagine, yes, like 4 years ago, because now I'm online and I be not telling you that there is no time, in other words. But in like 4 years ago, God was even allowing to I be acknowledged. I was confessed, and I was confessed, but what I was confessed, I not confessed smaller things. And God was, you know, making me completely pure. And so, as I was trying to mention you, like, I am free from, you know, don't have desire, and like I was sharing with wife, do not think I am sick or I have old.
You know what, Kajik, I hope that...
I was telling her, but I have desire towards wife, but not nobody else. So,
yes,
again, so as shortly as I be read again... Yes, God was blessing me, so like, imagine, no temptation, nothing. I am completely free.
Oh, that's beautiful. But I hope you stay connected with your kids. Are you staying connected with them?
Yes, it's terrible because, you know, imagine, trouble was starting in 1990. And
yes,
I came to 86 to this country, 88, wife joined me, and 2 years later, mother-in-law was visited. And wife is kind of like... You see, very weak person character, and she was standing with evil instead with good. You know, in Scripture,
yes,
Jesus is saying, if you not hate your father and mother and brother and sister, you be not worthy of me to follow me.
Right,
and, you know,
that's
and
right.
I be saying, when I was asking prison, to put God, what is meaning, this passage? And then he was saying, is to put God first, but... In my mind, because when I was meditating, and you see again, through this suffering, God is so blessing me with,
yes,
with, you know, different stuff. So back to this quotation when I was saying, so I go even deeper and with details. God is saying to us through this passage, Jesus is saying, it's no matter what, you have to, what you have benefit from somebody or whatever, you have to must standing with truth.
Yes.
Not with evil. And you see, so...
And God will help you, and God has helped you.
God is truth.
He helped you, and he will help you. He didn't say that sometimes my grace is sufficient for you, or only sometimes is it made perfect in weakness, but always. It is always there, but you have to be open. The Holy Spirit, calm Holy Spirit. I say that 1,000 times a day, Kajik. I'm always calling down the Holy Spirit for me. Thank you, good man, for calling. We're going to have to close the show, but I'm so thankful to have you call in and to have you as a listener. God bless you.
God bless you, Kajik. We appreciate the phone call there in the great state of North Dakota. And unbelievably, Barbara, another hour has slid past us.
Yeah, do you believe it? I know.
Let's do it.
It's kind of crazy the way it works.
Let's do it again next week. How about that?
Actually, I won't be around next week. I won't be around on next Tuesday. But the following I will.
Okay. Well, we'll...
Is that okay with you, Jack?
No, it's not.
Can you live?
No,
can you live that way?
We'll discuss this later.
Okay.
on behalf of our host, Barbara McGuigan, our celebrity producer, Mr. Rich Jesse, our super celebrity call screener, Mr. Michael McCall, and you're just run-of-the-mill ordinary social media manager, Jeff Burson. I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. EWTN's Open Line Wednesday tomorrow. Father Mitch Pack will be in the house. Until we get together then, God bless.